The more Christmases I celebrate, the more I am convinced that Christmas is for poets. And one of my favorite Christmas poems was written almost a century and a half ago by a man named Phillips Brooks. At the time, Brooks was rector of Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, and he wrote this poem for his Sunday school class, having been inspired by a visit he had made to Bethlehem a few years earlier. So Brooks came up with the words, and the church organist provided some music, and the result was the lovely picture of the birth of Jesus that we know as O Little Town of Bethlehem. Each stanza of this hymn or poem is a kind of meditation on the birth of the Christ child and what it means to say God is with us. Even in the quiet that surrounds us this morning, I hear echoes of this hymn. How silently the wondrous gift is given. And as I reflect on the rest of the hymn and consider today's gospel, I keep coming back to one phrase in particular. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Luke tells us that on the night of Jesus' birth, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock. When an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Do not be afraid." This seems to be a recurring theme this time of year. We recall how in many of the stories we heard during the weeks leading up to Christmas, there were angels, messengers from God, delivering the same message. There was the angel Gabriel telling Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would be the mother of John the Baptist, even in her old age. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." And then again, there was Gabriel telling Mary, an unmarried teenager, that she would be the mother of Jesus. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." An angel also spoke to Joseph in a dream, a man who was engaged to Mary and who could have sent her away to protect his reputation. But the angel told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because what she had conceived was from the Holy Spirit. And finally, there was the angel appearing to the shepherds in the fields, telling them not to be afraid because of the joyful news of the Savior's birth. Do not be afraid. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the lowly shepherds, all of them ordinary people, simple folk, with plenty to be afraid of already in first century Palestine. Poverty, sickness, violence, and the oppression of Roman rule for the foreseeable future. They certainly had no reason to hope or to expect to be singled out and approached by angels and given a part in what God was planning to do. And we can be pretty sure that they would never have sought out or chosen these roles for themselves. There was fear lurking in the shadow all around them, but it was hardly on the same level as an encounter with God. Yet somehow they were able to trust in God and God's love. Somehow they knew that God's word was true and that God would guide them through their fears to the hope to which God had called them. today. Today is the day when all seekers after the light of Christ return to Bethlehem, bringing with us all the hopes and fears of the past year, all that we live for and all that we have lived through, all that we are and all that we're made of. Most of us are lost the rest of the year in the busyness of who we think we are and who we think we want to be, trying to cope with our fears from day to day while hanging on to whatever hope we may have. When the reality is that we may have forgotten or are often afraid to be who we really are. And if you're one of these people, and I know I am sometimes, then Christmas is for us. Maybe what we all need, even those of us who seem to have everything, is simplicity, a time to experience the holy in our midst, a time to open our hearts to the mystery of God and God continually breaking into our human existence, a time to hear the message that we are not alone and that all our days are lived in the presence of the one who made us and who came to earth to live with us and in us and to show us who we are and how to live. And so we come to the cradle once more. For in him, as the poet says, are met the hopes and fears of all the years. Not just the hopes and fears of Mary and Joseph, or of the shepherds, or the members of the once proud Jewish nation living under Roman occupation. No, not just them, not nearly that little, but much more than that. The hopes and fears of all creation. Of all creation at all times and in all places. The story of the Christ child lying in a manger has endured throughout the ages. It lives on in the essence of the Christmas message that in the birth of Jesus, hope was made real, and life, no matter how dismal, was infused with meaning and purpose. It is quite an amazing story, isn't it? The child born this day is to be the one who comforts all our fears and provides for us our greatest hope, showing us that God does not abandon us to our fears, but enters our lives to stay with us and to transform the fears of the world into joy and peace. Only the mind of a poet can really begin to express the wonder of it all. And so let me leave you with the words of another one of my favorites, John Betjeman, affirming his belief in the Christmas story for all of us. He wrote, "And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true, for if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent and hideous ties so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine." Merry Christmas.